Hello, everyone. Welcome to The Road to Cheltenham. We're catching up on the busy Christmas and New Year period, and I'm delighted to say that in the studio we have Patrick Mullins, four times Cheltenham Festival winning jockey, and more importantly, over the Christmas period, on board Sharjah and also Faheen in what was probably the race of the entire season, wasn't it?
So far, anyway, it was a magical occasion. I mean, the crowd in Limerick gave him such a reception. You know, that usually when you're riding, you don't hear the crowd. But the minute he landed at the back of the last, there was just this wave of noise. And, you know, looking up, there was hats and papers going and walking back to the parade, and there was people running in around. It was like the last days of Hurricane Fly in Leopardstown. You know, they were 10 deep around the parade ring, and they clapped Sam Crow in, and it was, I even lost ahead a bit, and a Frankie dismount.
I saw that. Not bad. Yeah. 8 out of 10, I reckon.
More practice needed, I think, yeah.
Well, hopefully he'll be able to provide that
yeah,
for you.
Exactly, yeah, exactly, maybe.
It stopped Kempton as well, actually. Everybody around Kempton was busy watching Faheen versus Sam Crow. We'll be picking up on that later on in the show, but first of all, it's going to be eyes down for the champion hurdle. And starting by talking about Sharjah, who, of course, you were also on board in the Matheson hurdle. So let's take a look at that. We'll also pick up on what happened to Classical Dream, the stable companion in the red and yellow, ridden by Paul Townend.
Yeah, I mean, both Classical Dream and Petit Mouchoir were very wound up in the parade room beforehand. So I had a fair idea we were going to go a gallop, and we've gone quite a quick gallop down to the first. Myself and Danny are already 6 or 7 lengths off the ones in front. And, you know, once the ground was quite quick this day. You know, the time was 3:49. That's a good ground time around Leopardstown. And that's probably too quick for Classical Dream. He's on his head everywhere, and what he does at the next, I think it's a case of a horse who's going faster than he's able to. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's chance ending what happens here, isn't it?
It is, and he did something similar at the first in the Morgiana, and I was behind him in the Morgiana, which is why I've decided not to be behind him today or that day. So that turned out to be the right decision. But you know, when he won in Cheltenham, he was very soft ground, and when he won at Leopardstown twice last season for Cheltenham, he wasn't hugely impressive either day. And so I think just soft ground is really what he needs.
Whereas Sharjah prefers a sander surface, surely?
Yeah, we put a first-time tongue tie on him. You know, the way the race has worked out, I've been jumping well, travelling well. The pace slowed when Classical Dream dropped off Petit Mouchoir. And I didn't want to be getting to Petit Mouchoir too early. So at this stage, I'm just hoping that no one's going to come down my outside and push me forward, and I'm able to just get there just before the last. I was in this position with him before, and we ended up on the ground, but not this time. There's no shadow. But Petit Mouchoir has picked up all the way, and I've gone down to the last thinking I need to jump this, and he has, to be fair to him.
Yes, and how much has he come on from his first run in the Morgiana?
Hugely. I was very disappointed with the run in the Morgiana. I thought it'd win Morgiana, to be honest. I thought everything in the race would suit him. But a lot of our horses this year are needing their first run. So, you know, that probably marks up Saldia's performance in Morgiana.
And why is that? I mean, surely, you know, you're doing the same things. You're a very successful operation. You presumably haven't changed anything. Why do you think that's happening so much this year?
We haven't got as clear a run for various different reasons with just getting hard, fast work into the horses. And I would say we've been less hard on the horses this year than any other year that I can remember. And I think there's far more improvement in all the horses from their first run. You saw it with the likes of Appreciate It. He hacked up the bumper in Leopardstown. It's going to beat him in Fairy House. And also Asterion for Lunge. You know, so I think a lot of the horses that ran first time over Christmas are going to be a different animal next time.
Okay. Returning to Sharjah, obviously you were brought down early in last year's champion hurdle. Was he handling what was more testing conditions at that point?
It's funny. I think he's a good ground horse. Now, obviously, he won the Galway hurdle on summer soft, which is a different beast than winter soft. But I thought I was travelling. Obviously, it was only the third hurdle. We only gone 4 or 5 furlongs. We were going on a strong gallop, but I'm within myself. I'm tracking Bouvard Air, which is exactly where I wanted to be. I'm thinking to myself, you know, anything could happen now. And, you know,
it did.
Yeah. You'd like to think tracking Bouvard Air that he'd bring you down to the last with a lead. And I know he can make the odd mistake, but I didn't think he'd do what he did. And he's fallen and he's rolled left, taking us down. If he'd fallen and rolled right, he would have taken Esper Dallin down. Mm. I think Sharjah would have been left with the race at his mercy, but ifs and buts.
OK, well, let's focus on the other horses that Sharjah might be facing. We've mentioned in passing Classical Dream. Let's look at his behaviour, because we've seen this a number of times now. This is what he was doing prior to the Matheson hurdle down at the start.
Yeah, and like I said, he was quite wound up. He was quite wound up in the parade ring also. He's a bit like this at home now, but and he was the same last year. But it's definitely not ideal. You know, you can't really line up exactly where you want. It's fine if you want to make the running there, but it's a disadvantage to him.
Did he have earplugs in? Because he does hear. When this is prior to the Supreme.
I think it was
with
at
Ruby
this
on.
Moment Ruby realised he better retire, I think.
So he can blame Classical Dream. But Ruby was saying that he takes the earplugs out down at the start. Was he wearing? Has Classical Dream been wearing earplugs this season?
He has. Geez, I can't tell you exactly now if he wore them the last 2 days, but he has worn them on occasion, and we've taken them out because once the race is going, he doesn't need them. Mm-hmm. So I don't think it's particularly helped him. It doesn't look like it's helped him. You know, I'm not sure it's noise that's affecting him. I think it's more something in his head. So
that kind of negates my next question, which was, might you consider a hood next time we see him?
It's possible he's worn it at home, and, you know, I wouldn't rule it out, but I'm not sure that that's the answer to the question, yeah.
And you think it's...
I just think it's probably a bit in his head, you know, his immaturity. I imagine I'd hope he'd grow out of it. Like, it wasn't a negative from last year, so I just think it's something that he's going to have to grow out of. I don't think there's a whole pile at the moment we can do about it.
Okay. Let's have a look at the Morgiana, shall we? Classical Dream is doing exactly the same thing down at the start. And, of course, this is the occasion on which Sharjah disappointed you, but also Saldio, the stable companion, was able to win.
Yeah, I mean, you know, what I think taking out of this race is a lot of our horses, like I said, are needing the first run. Our three are having the first run. Petima Schwarz has been running through the summer. He's fit. And he's beaten Classical Dream and Sharjah. But Saldio, despite the negative of what I would say, you know, the horses aren't maybe as fit as they usually were at the first run, was able to come and beat him off a long layoff. So I think this performance has to be marked up hugely. Mm.
And what happened since then? Because he wasn't entered over Christmas, didn't run.
Yeah, he came back from this race. We weren't happy with him. He got a bit of a knock. He's back riding now. Possible he could have a run before Cheltenham. He could go straight to Cheltenham, but he's back riding and we're happy with him.
And in terms of the whole straight to Cheltenham question, for all three of those horses we talked about, Classical Dream, Sharjah, and you just mentioned Saldier, the other two, are they going to go straight there, or might you consider the Dublin Racing Festival?
Yeah, I suppose you'd have to consider Dublin Racing Festival is, you know, the Irish Champion Hurdle. Like Classical Dream, if the ground is going to be quick again, do you go, or do you go and change tactics? And, you know, so Sharjah, I would have thought the ground in Leopardstown would suit him perfectly, so why not? But, you know, Willie is a very important festival for us, the race festival, so I imagine if they can run, they will run.
And some people have knocked both the form of the Morgiana and also the Matheson on the basis of Petit Mouchoir's proximity on both occasions. I'm not of that camp. What's your thought?
Yeah, it's something that's crossed my mind. But Petit Mouchoir, I suppose, he is a fair horse on his day. I know he disappointed there for a season or two, but perhaps they've got him back to his best form. His best form is good enough. Mm. But it is a question, like, should Petit Mouchoir be there, you know, if these horses come to Champion Hurdle? But it's an open-looking year. I mean, has any other horse beaten something better than Petit Mouchoir? I'm not so sure.
No, quite. That's a good point about, and we'll bring it up about Epatant as well, because I suppose Silver Streak might be our comparison to Petit Mouchoir, albeit his ability seemed a bit more current compared to this season. But these are the closing stages of the Morgiana with Saldio there. Have you got a view of the pecking order of your three at this point, or is it with, first of all, thinking about the Irish Champion Hurdle and then also thinking about the Cheltenham Festival?
Well, I'm hoping Paul keeps thinking Classical Dream is the number one anyway. look, I think on soft ground, Classical Dream is probably the number one. Ahead of Sharjah. On good ground, Sharjah probably comes ahead of him. Saldio is the question mark. I mean, it looked like he was going to beat Espoir Dallin in my book when he fell in Nace. Ruby hadn't gone for a stick, Mark Walsh had. So, and then, you know, like I said, the run in the Morgiana has to be hugely marked up. So he's the one we don't really know how good he is. So there's no clear standout one, whether that means if you think you have three Champion Hurdle horses, you have none. But I think it's that kind of year.
Yes. Yeah. Let's have a look at what kind of year it is. We can take a look at the Champion Hurdle betting. Obviously, the big springer in this betting was Epatant following her Christmas Hurdle win. What did you make of that?
Very impressive. You know, beat three solid top handicappers or grade three horses in Ballyandy and Silver Streak and Verdana Blue. And she did it very, very easily. It's as good a form as there has been. She's unexposed. She's possibly still improving. You know, she ran disappointing at Cheltenham last year. That's a question mark, isn't it?
I think it is. It is. But it's just one run, isn't it? You haven't got a body of evidence.
Exactly. So, like a lot of these, she's unexposed. We don't really know. But she deserves to be the price she is, I think. Mm.
So that is the chance of Epatant. Of course, we've got the £7 mare's allowance, as might Honeysuckle. Do you see Honeysuckle going to the champion hurdle rather than the David Nicholson mare's hurdle? They've said they were going to enter in both.
It's definitely, they'll have to think about it. To me, her Hatton's Race win is probably the best bit of form in the race, beating Bacardi's and probably a below par up as Jade, but she still did it so well. Obviously, it's 2.5 miles. Is her 2 mile form good enough? Maybe not, but she has the potential. Mm. She has potential, and she, you know, Rachel thinks an awful lot of her. Mm. So if she did turn up there, I'd be very, very wary of her. And their next run will probably tell them a lot.
Yes, absolutely, depending on where she does run next. Then also we've got Pentland Hills. What did you make of him? Obviously, he won the Triumph last year. We've seen him once so far this season in the International.
Yeah, I couldn't have him. I mean, look, I'm not the greatest fan of juveniles. I know Esper Dahlin won it last year. I think that was a very funny race last year. And he, on a line through course of Leam, I don't think his form is good enough. And he didn't do himself any favours here in this race. So I couldn't have him personally. But I have been wrong before.
I think we all have. Yeah. And you mentioned Envoy Allen. Earlier when we were chatting about this race, what do you think, are they likely, with a horse that is a novice, who's just stepped up to 2 mile 4, are they likely to go to the champion hurdle? They haven't explicitly counted it out.
Would the experience of Sam Crowe turn them off it? You know, it's a big step up from being a good novice hurdler to being an open hurdler. I love this horse. If I could have one horse in the whole of England and Ireland, this would be it. I thought what he did last year as a bumper horse was extraordinary for the size of him. He reminds me of Florida Pearl. And I love the way he jumps for a big horse. Watching him there, you know, David was leaving him alone. I know he put in one big jump, but in tight, he's so sharp. I don't think there's a need to go to champion hurdle. To me, he's a chaser. Look, he's a chaser, so go win your novice hurdle and go novice chasing. But I think he has the ability for a champion hurdle, but is there a need to do it? Mm. I don't think so.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. Those thoughts on the champion hurdle. We're going to move on now to think about some other races of the festival. Yesterday, of course, we had the Gold Cup entries being published. This is the start of the weekly publication of the Cheltenham Festival entries. And today, the Queen Mother Champion Chase and Ryanair entries went out. And we can have a look at what Willie has entered. And we've put the Queen Mother Champion Chase and the Ryanair Chase Patrick on the same screen because there's so much overlap between them.
Yeah, they're up just the way it is now. With the, you know, since Ryanair's come in, obviously Shaq and Persuade was disappointing in Leopardstown. I mean, he jumped third. He put in a spectacular leap to third last, the last ditch, and I put down my binoculars and I said to the fellow beside me, I said, this horse different class, and you know, he did a lovely bit of work with Ruby in Punchdown. I was riding Kenboy and Paul's in Album Photo, and of course Ruby couldn't help but win the bit of work, but. I think he just ran like a lot of hours first time out. You know, he needed the run. And his, you know, his lack of experience is something you would be worried about. But the way he jumped there, you know, I don't think it'll come against him. I thought maybe we got our tactics wrong. I thought, you know, we had 3 horses in the race. They all lined up, jumped out, upsides over the first. And they kind of raced down the straight a bit. There was Great Feel is keen, Cadmium's keen, Shackham was a bit keen. Rachel Blackmore just sat in behind, took position A. And I think got the place you would ideally want, where Shacken dropped in when he won in Punchdown. So maybe we'll have to look at that. But look, I'm not too worried that he got beaten. It's a bit of a Bermuda Triangle of a race for us. Footpad got beaten it, Min got beaten it. At least it wasn't simply Naked coming Mugus this year, but I still think he's got the world at his feet.
Is he the number one, your yard's number one Queen Mother hope then, ahead of Silas Emery?
I suppose he's achieved more than Celius over fences at the moment. You know, his the form of his race in Punchdown, whether you take it at face value, I don't know, but the form in Black and White makes him the number one at the moment. And, you know, they'll all run again before Cheltenham. Again, Celius needs to. He has very few runs over fences, only 3. I think the way we do novices at the minute is old-fashioned. I think you should get 3 runs as a novice, regardless of what time period. I think the fact, you know, if you can win a beginner's chase, get injured and suddenly have to go run against handicappers and graded horses in an open king, I don't think that's fair, but that's an argument for another day. But Celius, I mean, the form again of his race with Ballyushin, is Ballyushin as good as his mark? Probably not, but he's been very impressive. He's been very fragile, but again, he's got his potential. We don't know how good he is, so there mightn't be a lot between them, maybe.
Who's the number one hope for the Ryanair? Surely Min runs in there this year.
You'd imagine so. You know, he's not at 9 years old. He's hardly getting any faster. He's got beaten there the last 2 years, and I definitely have to consider stepping up. He's 2 wins, and John Durkin says it shouldn't be a problem to go that trip. And he'll probably go to Dublin, well, possibly go to Dublin Racing Festival as well. I can't see any reason why the Ryanair wouldn't suit him.
And Footpad, what did you make of his King George run?
Better. He should have stayed better because he stayed over hurdles well. So I was disappointed in that way. And he just still doesn't look the horse he looked as a novice chaser, does he?
He had overreach issues last season, didn't he? And he also ended up breaking a blood vessel, didn't he, in the festival itself. Is he over the sort of health issues? Have you had a clear run with him?
We've had a very clear run with him, you know, and it was great to get a win for his confidence in Thurles. That race suited us very well. He got a hard race in the King George, though. Mm. And at his best, he'd be competitive in the Ryanair, but over the last 18 months, he hasn't shown that he'd do enough to win it.
And what's the latest on Duvan? The constant patient.
Yeah. Duvan, we're taking it day by day. Look, we've given him an entry, but I can't say he's definitely going to turn up there. You know, maybe at the way things are going, do you keep him in those grade twos and grade threes and get wins into him rather than going back to Cheltenham off maybe an interrupted preparation? It's something my father said to me a long time ago, and I never understood it until lately. He said to me, Desert Orchid wasn't actually the best horse at the time, but he was the soundest horse at the time. And it's only now that I understand it. I mean, I think Duvan is the best we've ever had, full stop. Like, if you look, he's like Usain Bolt when you look at him. He's just different shape. But he's not sound enough. His record doesn't stand up to say he is a great horse. And it's something that's very frustrating and a bit sad.
Yeah, absolutely. It must be. Let's take a look at the Gold Cup entries now, shall we? Just restrained himself to the four, Willie. I mean, you know, the itch has been scratched, hasn't it?
He must have been late, I'd say. He must have just ran in at the last moment. Only entered four, yeah.
We can have a look at Album Photo. Of course, he is the title holder, and he's returned at the race that he used as a stepping stone to the Gold Cup success last year. It's now been upgraded to Grade 3. That's at Tremore, and he was fabulous, wasn't he?
He was, because, again, like I said, a lot of hours are needing their run. So last year, you wouldn't, if you tried to plan this preparation, you wouldn't. But with Sizing John, when he won the Gold Cup, it was the same. He started over 2 miles at Christmas. With Native River, when he won the Gold Cup, it was the same. So we were just talking at the start of the season. We said, it worked last year, so why not do it again? And I'm not sure he's a horse. You know, it took him a while to get over his Gold Cup win last year. He was very light afterwards, so maybe racing him less suits him. Mm-hmm. When he won that race last year, the figure said it was a monster run, but everyone was kind of questioning it. And it turned out it was. And I think the figures on this are very impressive as well.
They're better. Yeah, absolutely. It's a serious return. Thank you very much. So that's bringing you up to date with where the Mullins Yard are on those three festival chases, the entries for which have been published this week. Let's move on. And we're going to move on to what you've been saying on social media. We're going to start off with the Classical Dream. You'll enjoy these. Send Classical Dream straight to the Arkle, says Craig Waters. We've got another one. Classical's next step is over fences. Show it a fence. Damien Keegan is just brief. That's surely not going to happen halfway through the season, is it?
No, I can't imagine that Damien or Craig would be like him to show him a fence the way he's jumping hurdles. But look, he's a horse. He's got the size and scope to jump a fence next year. But I mean, to change tack at this stage of the season is too late. Yeah. It's definitely a consideration. But you know, like if it turns up soft in Cheltenham and he wins the champion hurdle, then
you've got a dilemma.
You've got a dilemma, yeah. But he's a horse that could go fencing. But he was so good as a novice hurdler last year, it looked like an open champion hurdle. We said you'd have to take a chance.
Are you regretting it?
No, not yet. No, well, I'm not anyway. I've got the right charger because of it. So.
Good for you. Let's move on to the next one. This is about Melon, and Melon's an interesting one. Obviously, has got an excellent record at Cheltenham, second 3 times, once in the Supreme, twice in the champion hurdle. And Jimmy Nolan reckons, would you consider Melon for the JLT? Needs further nowadays and brings serious class to the table. 14-1, what do you reckon?
Yeah, definitely. I think stepping up in trip is going to help him. I've schooled him a good bit at home. He jumps well, but he's clean. He doesn't jump maybe like a 2-miler. He's not sharp over his fences. What I was a little concerned about was he was jumping a little to his right in both in Leopardstown and in Navan, which obviously isn't ideal. This is the mistake he makes at the last, and he does go a bit right before it.
I'm bothered by the fact that this is the only time there was a horse upsides him, and that happens.
Yeah. To me, it was it was an obvious mistake. He's got in tight and stumbled a bit on landing. I'm not too concerned about how well he jumps. I'm a little concerned that he just might jump a bit right. Okay. It was nice to see him battle here because his win record isn't fantastic. I was disappointed he had to battle to beat that horse. But Oliver McKiernan's horse is running particularly well at the moment. He'll probably go for the PJ Moriarty next. I'd love to. I can't wait to see over 2.5 miles of fences. I think that'll bring a huge improvement in him.
Okay, Jimmy, I think you've got some encouragement there for the Marsh, remember, not the JLT. Right, we've got one more, and this one is about carefully selected and the National Hunt Chase, wondering whether he might go for the Flowgas. He made on his debut, he made that over 2.5 miles. In order to qualify for the National Hunt Chase, you've got to finish in the first four in two chase starts, one of which has to be over 2.5 miles minimum. So there's a task there for carefully selected, isn't there?
There is. You know, he's entered this weekend over 2.5 miles, and he was obviously mentoring at Christmas over 3 miles, but we pulled him out because of the ground. I schooled him around Punchestown after racing in New Year's Eve there, so and he jumped well. But if he's going to go to Cheltenham, he needs. I'd like to see him run. I'd like to get three runs in. You know, two more runs into him. So because that National Hunt Chase is like a handicap. There's a full field. I don't think there's any other novice chase where you have 18 runners. So if he does run this weekend, we'll have to find a 3 mile chase. Another is possibly the 10 up in Navan.
Which leads us neatly to Faheen, of course, doesn't it? Who we've already spoken about, fantastic performance over Christmas. But what is his next move and what is he going to be entered in for Cheltenham?
I imagine he goes for the PJ Moriarty in the Dublin Race Festival, which of course will leave him unqualified for the 4 miler, unfortunately. That's the one mistake he made there at Limerick. Probably my fault. I'd taken him back to the fence before it. But I love what he did here. We've met it on a long stride. Samco has gone too long and my lad's just danced. This is where the race happens. If you look how close Castlebrook is behind us and how far clear we are by the time we get to, even though me and Jack aren't moving, like my plan was after third last to roll down the hill. So we're going to, really from here on in, it's who gets slower, the slowest. Mm. We've hit our top speed. And
you'd have seen here, you'd have thought, ooh, Jack, suddenly not travelling so well.
Yeah, all the way down, I'm looking at Jack's hands, I'm thinking, oh, he's going very well. And then I can just see him start to loosen his rein and use his ankles.
Meanwhile,
my lad's loving it. You know, he comes down to this, we spot a stride, wings it, and away down to the last. And it wasn't quite pretty at the last, but he was quite good, you know, because I dropped a gear just to try to get over it and then spotted a stride, which mightn't have been the best thing. But anyway, he's come up for me and away with him.
And when you look behind, can you not quite believe how far behind Sam Kerr is?
I didn't see him the first time because he's right behind, so I was just double-checking. So, and then he spooks at something here, so I'm probably the only jockey to celebrate and then continue riding.
I did wonder.
He spotted, I think, a photographer or something. So, a bit embarrassing. But I was a little disappointed. Not a little disappointed, but he jumped very well. But the first time up the back straight, Castlebrook has out-jumped us. Mm-hmm. And we rolled on past him down the hill. And the second up the back straight, Sam Crow's out-jumped us. Now, we've out-jumped him at one or two fences, but over the five fences, Sam Crow's out-jumped us. So he jumps well, but he's maybe not sharp as he could be yet. So, you know, does that bring the RSA into...
I was just about to ask that same question. Well, with him being unlikely, from what you say about his campaign, being able to qualify for the National Hunt Chase, that sounds like it's only the Marsh and the RSA that he'll be in. And from what you're saying, RSA sounds like the one that you'll be leaning towards.
Well, possibly. Like I said, he'll run Drum Racing Festival and, you know, maybe he'll be sharper there. So, you know, that race will tell us an awful lot more, but I wouldn't have any problem going 3 miles with him.
OK, let's talk about sharpness, shall we? And that's Cashback, who was incredibly impressive at Nace. Danny Mullins was on board on this occasion. This was a fantastic run, wasn't it?
It was. You know, he's a horse, he's a little bit like on the show. He likes to get on with it. He's not easy to ride at home, but Tally does a fantastic job with him. He's a high cruising speed. He jumps very well. He's got the physique to jump well over fences. And Danny probably suits him, you know, quite a forward-going horse. But what really struck me about this race was that Danny couldn't pull him up after the line. Now, he does have a jaw on this horse, but that just shows how much he had left. And that ground that day was good ground, yielding ground there. It wasn't soft. So, that you know, that for going on in the spring, that's a good thing. The form of the horse behind him, like 0-10, was coming back from an injury, jumped to his right. Dunvegan can throw in a below-par run. Tornado Flyer obviously pulled up a few hours, Boy to Rev, Bacardi's, Tornado Flyer.
I know what you mean. You can look at it and pick the race apart, but if you look at the time performance, it is just, he's forced that, I reckon.
Yeah. Like I said, he's got a huge cruising speed. Danny can't pull him up here. You don't see that too often, because Danny would be a strong fella.
Is he your chief Arkle hope?
himself, at the moment, I mean, Laureen obviously blotted her copybook in at Christmas, and Mellon looks like he wants to go up and trip. Bap Hom is the other interesting one, because mm-hmm. he is sharp to jump. A very similar profile to Footpad, you know, as a stayer over hurdles. But the way he jumps over fences, he can come back and trip. So you'll probably find the two of them lining up in the Arkle at the Dublin Racing Festival.
Okay. Right. It's all go, isn't it? So many horses to consider. Your head must be in a whirl at that yard. But we're getting the benefit of it, which is great for everyone who's watching Road to Cheltenham. We'll move on now to Patrick's Eye Catchers. He's put out a couple of horses, one of whom might end up at the Cheltenham Festival, and one actually who has two other interesting targets. We said at the start of the season, although it's called Road to Cheltenham, we'll be looking at other races en route. And this is exactly what one of Patrick's two Eye Catchers will do. So I'll let you take the floor with the big getaway first.
Yeah, I love this horse. He's the biggest horse in the yard. He's bigger than Duvan even, and wider. I couldn't believe I got him bet in two bumpers last year. I don't know how I managed it, but the ground was quite quick. He wants it up to his hocks, really. When I won it, what I did with him, he's a horse you think he's quite fast at home, but he's actually a big galloper, which when you look at him is quite obvious. And when he won his bumper this year, I just let him gallop on. Paul won a schooling hurdle with him in bottomless ground in Thurles, and he just bounced out in front and let him gallop. Now he's chosen. On this day, we've chosen to ride a normal race, sit second, you know, mm-hmm. do the normal thing. Mm-hmm. And he's been too keen all the way. And even though he's got to the front at the last, and
here is the last.
And he's just pricked his ears. Watch his ears here. I don't know, he's looked at the stand or something, but he's taken his eyes off it. Hasn't made that bad a mistake, but then the next stride loses back end altogether. Now he's fine after the race.
Good.
Not a bother on him, but I was disappointed that he got beaten again. And, you know, he's beaten three out of four times now, so maybe we're just wrong about him. But I think next time out, we'll let him bowl along. I think he's one of the horses, if you're pulling out of him, you're going too slow. He's such a big horse. Use his big, long stride. Get other horses at it. And, again, that ground was good ground. He wants it soft. If he turns up in the Albert Bartlett, I think he'd have to have a big chance. But he's a horse for next year. I'm really excited about this horse. And I think, I'd like to see him in the Albert Bartlett.
The second one highlight for you is Chef de Zobeau, and this is interesting for the Thaises and possibly also the Irish Grand National.
Yeah, so sorry, I forgot the name of the show, all right? Yeah, so I put this fella forward.
No, you're quite right. We like this.
Mikey Foley decided before the race he wanted to have him on the outside. He thought maybe watching his other runs that he likes a bit of daylight. So I was delighted to be able to see him get a handy position, have that cruising speed. He's jumped, and despite jumping to his right and being a little awkward, he's been able to get a good position. He's unexposed. I think that was his sixth run over fences, maybe his first handicap. And like a lot of ours, came on hugely from his first run. Mm-hmm. And, you know, off 11 stone 9, I think, was the weight. So, and he made a bad mistake to third last, which is obviously a pivotal part of the race. He's in front. You know, you'd be like to be thinking he could just sit there now and fill him up, but he's just made a bit of a novice mistake. And at that stage of the race, when they're starting to race down to the second last, that's not ideal. I thought he did well to finish as close as he did, considering. He's gone up a pound, he's 150. To win the test is off 150 will be difficult. Jacket Ammon on his own won it off 142, 145. But I think Ruby really makes his points that ratings are going up and up and up. I think he could improve again. So going back right-handed, I think the test is in Irish Grand National, he'd be interesting in.
Thank you very much. Right, we've got a minute left on the programme, that's all. So it's going to be some quick-fire questions for you. Where do we stand with Penhill and Bacardi's?
Penhill is staying sound, which is great. We're probably training him softer, so he's going to improve more for every run. Hopefully we'll get back to Cheltenham. Bacardi's was fine after the race. He can do that. He's thrown in a few bad runs. I just draw a line through it and carry on.
And how is Benny Didier?
Benny Didier is A1. Dick Dowling, head man, is riding with her. She pulled a muscle before the Hatton's Grace. And I think, you know, Willie's just considering maybe doing a Kivega with her again, go straight there maybe.
Okay. Right, we're at the end of the show, Patrick. You have been a mine of information. It has been so good to hear from you. I hope you've enjoyed it.
Yeah, great fun.
Would you come back?
I would indeed, yeah.
That's always useful to know, isn't it? I think it is. Thank you very much. Thank you very much for watching. I hope you've enjoyed the Road to Cheltenham. We'll see you again next week. Thank you.